about to honor mothers or mother figures this morning, I'm going to begin with a few sayings that we may hear from children on this particular day. Three of them. One, hey, Mom, happy Mother's Day. Great job, by the way. I turned out just awesome. Second one we may hear, you know what? I smile because I'm your son or your daughter. But I laugh because there's nothing you can do about it. And a third one. Happy Mother's Day to my second most embarrassing parent on Facebook. Now, Paul didn't get that joke at first, but he does now.
I just don't get on Facebook. That's my problem.
Enough. Or maybe not, I don't know. But anyhow, we had a good time laughing at these and deciding which ones should go in. So, but to balance the humor, we know that there's a lot of strong, beautiful sentiment that goes along with it as well. And so here's a little one, just entitled Mother. You are a dependable source of comfort. You're my cushion when I fall. You help me in times of trouble. You support me when I fall. I love you more than you know. You have my total respect. If I had my choice of mothers, you'd be the one I'd select. Now, we recognize that every female of the age of 18 and older is a woman, but may not be a mother. And that's okay. That's perfectly fine. Regardless if we choose to have children or not, all of us has had a mother. So for some, this whole Mother's Day makes a few a little uncomfortable, and it may even present a negative image depending on the mother that was had. For others, it provides a very strong image. Still, regardless of our feelings that may go one way or the other, it still is a national day. So today the purpose for the Mother's Day message is to compare God's love to mother's love as seen in the scriptures. One maternal image, which was very clearly used by Christ himself, is he used a metaphor of a hen gathering the chicks underneath her for protection.
This is seen in the book of Matthew, chapter 23. Jesus states in verses 37 through 39 the following, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. And you are not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. In this passage, Jesus is very upset. In a lengthy speech, he purposely exposes the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, of their hypocritical attitudes. He was saying that the leaders knew the scriptures, but they just didn't follow them. Does Jesus, the Son of God, in exposing the hypocrisy, choose not to love them? No, he loved the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He still loves them, but he chooses to call them out for their blatant behavior. Christ chooses not to stand silent. Years ago, a book for discipline within the family entitled Tough Love stood as a guide for confrontational love. Jesus demonstrates this tough love to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He clearly stated, "I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings." Let's watch how endearing this is. We'll watch the video that shows a mother hen leading her brood and then hiding them under her wings.
Generally, I will say prior to a clip where you can't read the white on white what the words say, but basically all I said is, as the filmer, I saw a hen leading its chicks through the woods, so I filmed it. And then later on he states, or she states, later I saw the hen, but not the chicks. And then you see the chicks come out from underneath the mother hen. And it's so endearing. And then the scripture they have is the exact scripture that was read and is also the scripture that is on the back, placed on the back of your bulletin for you to read and to keep. The last time Paul and I used this image of the hen with the mother hen and their chicks was when we did the study of Psalms 91, and you will see it again. It was actually verse 4 of Psalm 91, and it talks about, you know, how when a hawk circles around a hen with chicks, the mother hen doesn't go chasing after the chicks to gather them. She simply spreads out her wings and clucks. Cluck, 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 cluck. Lets her chicks know that there is danger, and the chicks run to her. And then she folds them underneath her wing. And it's such a beautiful image of what God does for us. He alerts us to the danger, and it is left to us to come seek refuge underneath those maternal wings of God. It's such a beautiful vision. And this is love, isn't it? And it's love found both in mothers and fathers. So on this Mother's Day, we do have fathers who are standing in for mothers. We do have single mothers fulfilling the roles of both men and women. And we have married as well as singles who are waiting for children, possibly, or not wanting children either way, but are still caring for others. For example, it could be for an elderly grandparent that they take on as their own. We also know that there are grandparents filling in for missing parents. And there are teachers, there are neighbors, there are coaches who provide that nurturing care for a child's growth. So perhaps today, as you recall, who had that maternal instinct, whether it be male or female, who nurtured you as a child or as a young adult? Who would you shout out to, "Hey, you did great"? Under whose outstretched wings did you find refuge in times of fear or in times of danger? So just pause for a second. And in your hearts and in your minds, thank that individual or individuals for their outstretched wings. Past November through mid-April, as a congregation, we explored the love of God as expressed through Advent, through the Lent season. And we celebrated during this time not only the birth of Christ, but we celebrated through his resurrection. And here in the scripture that Paul read, that we saw on here, where Christ calls out, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, you have killed the prophets. You have killed the prophets that were sent to you. How I long to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks under the wings. But you were unwilling." At that time, when he says that, Jesus is prophesying. He recognizes that those prophets, that these Pharisees would kill him as they had killed the prophets before him. And just allow that to absorb. Christ knowing this, drawing him to tears, crying over the city that would kill him. "You who killed the prophets." Hate versus love. To kill versus to nurture. Both sometimes are so intermixed that it is sometimes confusing, isn't it? It was then, it is now. A lot of the people who cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him," were the exact same people who on Palm Sunday were saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna." How can this happen? How can this happen in this world that we go from cheering to crying out for death? Well, for us in this world today, social media doesn't always help, does it? Frequently, it sends us mixed messages to stir up, purposely, to stir up strife and constantly to offend somebody. Somebody must be offended by this. Does this offend you? And we fall for it. We fall for it. Purposely stirring up trouble, purposely stirring up division, so that division keeps being recycled and recycled and recycled for someone's benefit. It certainly isn't for ours. However, sometimes on social media, I enjoy the love part of it. I love the sharing part of it. I love sharing what makes me happy, and sometimes you'll see me just stuff a bunch of pictures in there of flowers, of trees, anything that causes me to smile. And many of you do that likewise, and I truly enjoy the exchange. There was one meme, there was one saying that I really did appreciate, and every once in a while you'll see me send one out. And this one said, "If your religion causes you to hate, you have the wrong religion."
That is the point that Christ was trying to make, that the Apostle Matthew recorded. Christ was telling the religious leaders that their supposed love for God was causing them to kill the prophets. As stated, Jesus longed to gather all under his umbrella of love, as a hen does her chicks. But Christ stated, "You," meaning the Jerusalem leaders, "were unwilling." They were unwilling. For this acceptance of deception and unwillingness to follow the love gospel of God, Christ called them vipers and snakes and told them that their homes were desolate. The hen is a mother image, a female image. Some say that God is only male in image due to Christ leading what we now call the Lord's Prayer. And for him, God was his father. Mary was his mother. The Lord's Prayer does state, "Our Father who art in heaven," not simply, "My Father." Still, there are other images of God as having both male and female traits. For example, look at Genesis that states that humankind was built in the image of God, both man and woman. Number two, in Hosea, in this prophet's book, chapter 11. Also, while speaking of God, uses predominantly female images. The scripture states, "It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms." Although we can see the father figures also have these nurturing elements, much as the male birds also nurture the chicks and protect them from the elements, the nurturing character of a person is generally stated as a maternal trait. So it is completely appropriate to acknowledge the maternal aspects of God, since we are looking at the nurturing aspects of humankind. Let's return to the mother hen image, because it is not significant only with Christ's words. Keep in mind that Jesus knew the scriptures well and repeated them and their teachings, and thus he would have known the nurturing and protective aspects of God as a bird, sheltering fledgling under its wings.
For example, in the book of Ruth, it states very clearly as a blessing, "May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." The Psalms, of course, uses the imagery a number of times. In Psalm 17:8, you read, "Keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me under the shadow of your wings." Also in Psalm 57, first verse, it states, "I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed." And then Psalms 91:4, the one we've been more recently familiar with, it states, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge." I love this bird image of God. It is succinct, it is visual, and it is accurate. Whenever we feel lonely, uncertain, scared, or in danger, we can visualize a God who spreads his wings for us, calls to us, and provides shelter and refuge. We know, after all, God is love. That's what the scripture that Bob read this morning is all about. But love, being only a four-letter word, a good one, is difficult sometimes to concretely define. In fact, A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite authors, He has authored multiple books just on the aspect of God alone. And I mean, it comes in volumes, each chapter, a different attribute of God. And he states that the love of God is the hardest of all of God's attributes to speak about. And I found that interesting. I would have thought, isn't that the easiest one? I think I would have gotten to the justice ones and those later on. But he says, no, it's actually the most difficult. He says, trying to describe God's love, and he gives two similes. One, it's like trying to take the ocean in your arms. And he said, the love of God is like trying to embrace the atmosphere. In fact, to state that God is love does not complete God's nature or person, as we like to say, completely, because the scriptures also state that God and the person of Jesus is described as the light of the world, the good shepherd, eternal life, living water, and so on. All of these images portray and paint God as a protective, sheltering, and nurturing God for his people.
However, God never lets us become too cozy with an image and see only the soft side of him, does he? Consider this image of God. God is seen as one who pushes his children to become independent and to grow stronger. Now, mother eagles, for example, are known to teach their young to fly by pushing them out of the nest. And you can watch the baby bird flying down to its doom, except the mother eagle comes swooping down and gets the bird before it falls to the earth. It's much like what we find in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 10 and 11. God guarded Jacob as the apple of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and then carries them aloft. This is tough love kind of God, a God who pushes us forward to become more than we are presently. Also check out Hosea chapter 13, verse 8. Like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and rip them apart. Boy, if you've been around bears or have seen documentaries on bears, you know that's exactly what they'll do. Here we see the maternal instinct to protect the children can produce wrath as much as warmth. Beware the fury of a mother. No sentimental mother images exist here. Now that we have looked at scripture, let's see how it agrees with what experts of child rearing state. From the book The Mom Factor, written by Drs. Henry Cloud and John Townsend, are listed five essential needs of children needed from a mother figure. Number one, safety. As little people, children experience the world as a dangerous place. They feel alone and they experience overwhelming needs and feelings. Safety can only be found in the mother or in whoever is providing the mothering at the time. Safety comes in the form of the person who is predictable, stable, and danger-free. This kind of mother creates a foundation for all other tasks of mothering. Without this person, the child remains in a state of anxiety or panic, unable to learn or to love. The mother's consistent, caring, and soft, understanding attention gives the child a safe place, and she transforms the dangerous place into a place of safety.
The second essential ingredient or element is nurture. Webster states that to nurture is to feed or nourish. A mother's nurture, therefore, is fuel for the soul. Good mothers pour care into the souls of their children, much like sunlight and much like water pours nutrients into a plant. Our souls flourish when we are nurtured. Without nurture, we wither. The failure to thrive syndrome and many other childhood problems are directly related to the lack of nurture. Because we are created with needs that go deeper even than our physical need for food, we need this immaterial, this spiritual requirement of a relationship in order to live. Third element of a good mother is basic trust. Basic trust is the ability, and I like this description, it is the ability to invest oneself in a relationship. We must first, before we can do this, have many experiences and instances of trustworthiness before we can truly trust others ourselves. We aren't born just trusting. Trust is learned. Trust enables us to reach out, to depend, to need, to see others as a source of good things. When we trust someone, we invest something of ourselves, and we hope for a good return. With a good mother figure, we invest our hearts and our beings, and we find that good return, which leads us to invest again and again in relationships. A trustworthy mother develops those abilities within ourselves.
Number four, belonging and invitation. We all have a need to belong to someone, to something bigger than ourselves. Belonging and love are at the root of our humanness. The Bible tells us to be rooted and established in love. If we are rooted and grounded with God and others, we belong. We feel nurtured, secure, and free from universal experience of isolation. Mothers, through their love and care, make us feel wanted, which transfers into later feelings of worth and confidence in relationships. The sense of feeling wanted and loved is not an intellectual exercise that we can do for ourselves. It comes through the experiences of being invited into relationship with another person. When we experience being consistently wanted early in life, we move easily into other relational settings later, never wondering if we belong or not. Number five, someone to love. Emotional development comes not only from the mother's investment in the child, but also from the child's investment in the mother. It's got to go both ways. A mother provides someone for the child to love. She is a good object of love. in order to develop emotionally and physically, intellectually and socially. We need not only be loved, but we must love in return. Love fills us up and colors our outlook on others and the world in which we live, so that we view life with hope and optimism. If mother or the surrogate mother provides safety, nurture, trustworthiness, belonging, and lovability, then the child is on his or her way to healthy development.
So as we review very briefly these five essential elements needed to be provided for any child, we see all of them within this maternal image of God as a bird with outstretched wings. We hope that as a nurturer of others, yourself, that you provide these five for others in your life: safety, a nurturing environment, basic trust, a sense of belonging, and allowing yourself to be an object of love. God bless you this week as you honor those who provided as you, for you as a nurturer, and as you provide as a nurturer to others.